We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here and to fellowship and focus on your word. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive the message you have for us and make it alive inside of us, and that we would recognize the application to our own individual lives. We just thank you, Father, and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we had finished up on faith in the sense of a gold analogy. And the passage that we were on, here, let me get into my little whiteboard. Yeah. Voice thing. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, it was only there just to confirm to myself that it was working. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to stay there. I thought you were saying my voice was annoying. I'm like, I don't have the audio on. It's just my voice. It's like, why are you making that face? What do you mean? This is just my face. let's see here. Yeah, we had finished up right at the end of class on the gold analogy from 1 Peter 1:7. And 1 Peter 1:7 read, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So the Apostle Peter was talking about all of the trials and sufferings that we go through in life. And he was basically telling us why these things happen to us. And it's not to punish us or to crush us. Like, you know, we went through the whole analogy of mining gold. And, you know, you got some people, they mine their gold, or they get their gold out of the rivers and whatnot. Well, that's already been kind of, you know, ground down and refined down by the elements and left it with just the placer gold that they pan out of the, or use a sluice box or whatever, dredge. They're actually just grabbing the gold that's actually already been broken down. What we're talking about is more of the sense of mining, where you're removing ore from the rocks and the hills and stuff, and you're crushing that up, and you're getting rid of the dust and the dirt and whatnot, and the small rocks, and you're left with the ore that has usually quartz mixed in with the gold. And then they have to pulverize that. They use chemicals, so on and so forth. The whole process is a really violent process for the material that they're working with. Violent from the perspective of the material. And for us, when we're going through these trials, it feels painful. And when we go through these sufferings, it's, you know, can be horrendous to us. But those things are not meant for torturing us or inflicting pain upon us or punishing us. These things are designed to draw out that gold of faith that is inside of us, and to get rid of, through the process, the fiery trials of melting down the ore and the separation that happens where the dross floats to the top, and that dross is talking about our unbelief. And God skims off the unbelief, which leaves nothing but that pure faith. And that's what he is trying to get at. He's trying to get that dross out of our souls, out of our hearts and our minds, and just be left with that pure, beautiful faith that was there the whole time. It's just, it's mixed in with all of this unbelief. And, you know, that concept of unbelief is the antithesis of faith, but we doubt, and that's that mixture of the two, where we waver back and forth between belief on one hand and unbelief on the other. And so that's kind of what we ended up with last Sunday. And that concept of feeling like you're being punished, we're not in a penal colony out there like the cartoons that we've probably all seen where there's a guy in a striped suit smacking big rocks and turning them into little rocks. Like that type of crushing is not what's going on. It's not a punishment. It is just to get at that faith. So now we're going to be on faith as the basis of a covenant relationship. So when two individuals, a man and a woman, or two nations, enter into a covenant relationship with each other, the basic understanding of the structure of that relationship is trust or faith. Both parties believe that the other party and what they say, that they're being honest, that they're being truthful, that they're going to uphold what they have committed to. Both parties trust that the other party will do as they've said. Now, there may be different or certain conditions or stipulations within that covenant relationship. But faith is the foundation of that relationship. It's a covenant specifically a covenant between a man and a woman for marriage. That's an agreement between those two, and there's a whole litany of basically conditions involved in that. And there's covenants between friends. Back in antiquity, it was more common. Today, you don't really have friendship covenants. But it was something that was practiced back in biblical times. And it may be a covenant of a business contract, or even between nations, like in a peace treaty. But the underlying foundation of all of these covenants was the relationship of trust. If it was a bilateral covenant, then both parties had to trust one another to hold up their end of the bargain. In a unilateral covenant, it is a one-way situation, such as we have with God, where it's then unilaterally us who trust Him to hold up His end of the bargain. So the idea of the bilateral, you have party A and party B, and they both make commitments to one another, and both parties have to trust each other to hold up those commitments, to fulfill those commitments. Whereas with us, you have God, and then you have us, and God is the one with the commitments there. He commits himself to us. And that was of his own volition. He wanted that relationship with us. So he made that happen. Now, the covenant relationship assumes a state of peace as well. Peace between the two parties. And if it doesn't already exist, then it creates that peace. It also creates a state of trust, as we've just looked at. The legally binding nature of a covenant, the public oath and testimonies, the ceremonies and witnesses, the committing of the individual's will and life to the covenant relationship creates a state of trust where you can trust the other party. After all, that's what the purpose of it was for, is to be able to trust the other party. Now, betrayed trust is a serious matter. The two underlying factors in the covenant were the individual's commitment, completely voluntary on both parties, and the individual's integrity. Now, character is also in there, personal commitment to keep that covenant, to keep it unviolated at all costs. These were keys to maintaining that covenant relationship. And what this enabled the covenant parties to do was live in a state of security with one another. The covenant created a legally binding atmosphere where there was now trust between the two parties, and they can now feel secure. And David had his betrayal problem in Psalm 41:9. In Psalm 41:9, it was one of his own friends who seems to have broken covenant with him. It reads, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Now, the original language calls him a man of peace, that close friend that he's talking about. And the word for peace in there is the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom indicates that peace had been made between each other, and that a state or relationship of peace existed between them. Now, to lift up one's heel speaks of other parties' betrayal of his friendship with David. Now, this concept of lifting up one's heel has kind of military overtones. Its real meaning is to thrust out the heel, which calls to mind, you know, the martial arts, and which is one of the most devastating strikes in martial arts is a karate kick, or, you know, thrusting out the heel. I mean, the heel is one of the most hardened parts of our bodies. So this seems to indicate a very vicious betrayal of David and his relationship. And it could have come either in the expression, this expression could come from the fact that David was in the military, or that both of them were in the military, but it was terminology that he was familiar with based on that. Now, David, it says that David trusted in him, and that word is batak in the Hebrew. And we've had this word batak earlier in this study, and this word has the concept of faith in the sense of trust, but also that the idea of feeling secure. And that security that comes from, and as we were just discussing, the covenant relationship that one has with another. And again, batak has that idea of lying down on the ground in a grassy field, free of concern, no worry, feeling totally safe and secure from all alarms, as, you know, to quote Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, one of my favorite hymns. So based on what we're reading here, what happened with David's friend, that concept of trust that he had with him, he felt secure, he felt no concern in their relationship, or, you know, why he had no idea that this guy was going to betray him. So he was, in essence, blindsided. And I'm sure many, maybe most of us have had a time or two where we've had somebody that we thought we were close with, and then out of nowhere they betray us. And that's especially difficult, especially harmful to our souls, because we thought we had an agreement. So faith is the basis for all covenant relationships. Faith where you believe what they say and trust, and where you trust them not to harm you, but to live up to their end of the covenant. We see this covenant trust broken another time with perhaps either the same individual discussed by David, or maybe another friend. And David speaks of this in Psalm 55. Verses 12 to 14 and 20 to 21. And I've got that printed up here for us. Hopefully you guys can still read that in the back. So Psalm 55, 12 through 14, 20 and 21 reads, "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords." That is truly the depth of despair being expressed by David over this betrayal that he experienced. But that's not what we have to worry about with the Lord, because he is completely and ever faithful and never breaks his word. Now we have the covenant of faith provides help. Because God is our covenant helper. So in Psalm 118, 5 through 7, 18, 5 to 7, we read, "In my anguish I cried to Yahweh, and he answered by setting me free. Yahweh is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Yahweh is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies." Now, as we were talking before, when two parties entered into a covenant with each other, trust went both ways. And therefore, they could count on one another. They can count on each other. But in our covenant relationship with God, again, that's unilateral, one direction, God to us. In our covenant relationship with God, it is He Himself who has covenanted Himself to us, taking all responsibility on His shoulders. He provides, we trust. He helps us, we count on Him. He has no trust in us, and He doesn't need us or our help to fulfill this covenant relationship. It is one way and one way only. Of all the references to the word helper, which is the Hebrew word atzar, the overwhelming majority throughout the entire Old Testament is a reference to God's covenant role as helper to his people. In verses 6 and 7 that we just read, the writer states that Yahweh is with him. And that Hebrew word is liyi. This is a concept of being bound to him by covenant. Therefore, he is not afraid. Notice the absence of fear in the presence of faith. Now, this concept of being with, to be covenantly bound to. Now, this isn't the concept of being with as in he's just next to you. This isn't the concept of, you know, two friends going with each other to the store, or you're carpooling with your coworker to work, so you're with that coworker. Those are just proximity. This is more like the with that you would think of when you have a smaller country, let's say a small European country next to Russia. Like Ukraine wants to be part of NATO so that they can be with NATO. It's not that they're powerful or that they would be able to repel a Russian assault, obviously, but when you're with a bigger, more powerful party in the sense of a covenant relationship, now if something happens to you, that bigger, powerful party comes in, protects, defends, supports, and ensures your continued existence. And that's who God is for us. He is our helper because he is covenantly bonded to us. And we will be triumphant over our enemies because of it, just as David said here. Now, it matters not what the covenant relationship is, whether marriage, friendship, business, salvation, political, they're all predicated on that concept of faith. That's the foundation that they're built upon. Integrity is what holds it together. Friendship and marriage have the unique factor in both that they have parties that are there to help one another. In fact, it's so assumed that it's actually taken for granted. I expect that Faith will help me. She expects that I will help her. If a friend is going to move, you don't want to. You don't want to say it's expected, but there's a certain level of expectation there that they're gonna help you out unless they're sick. Then they're not gonna help you out. That was convenient. Yeah, I don't want, yeah, well, in my case it was the diverticulitis, so that's not catchy, so but yeah, there wasn't much else other like it hurt just to get off the couch. And anyways, the in fact, yeah, it's so assumed, it's taken for granted. And in salvation, the help is again one-sided. So it's all coming from God to his people. And even in business, you'll see business partners coming to each other's aid, usually because of their own self-interests. And in nations, as we just discussed up there, they're pledged to one another that if one nation is attacked, the peace treaty exists that brings them along with them to help defend them. Or just the treaty that keeps them from any conflict between each other. Now we're on to faith and eternal principle. Now, from this section, we'll be able to see that the principle of faith did not originate with man here on earth, but it had been in existence since the very beginning, since before time existed. We may not be able to see this with direct statements out of the Bible, but we'll be able to perceive or understand that this concept exists based on some of the things that we'll go over here. And first is Hebrews 13:20. And in Hebrews 13:20, we read, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus and that great shepherd of the sheep." So here we actually have the word eternal covenant. And what do we know about eternity? You have everlasting or undying. That's not used here. Those concepts have a beginning and then they continue on. This is an eternal concept. And what we've learned over the years about eternity is that it goes both directions. It goes on into forever and forever in the past, eternity past. So this concept, this covenant, was an eternal covenant. And it was between the Father and the Son. God the Father and God the Son. They had entered into a covenant with one another in eternity past. And though there were many aspects of the covenant, one of them to raise Jesus from the dead, in this covenant, certain and many promises were made by the Father to the Son. The Son entered into this covenant with the Father because he loved him, trusted him, was of one mind with him in all things, and he believed what he said. Because of this, the Son incarnated, becoming a man, died on the cross for a specific group of people stipulated in that covenant, was buried, and was raised from the dead. We know that the Son believed his Father's word all the days of his life here and trusted him. And now we see that that he believed his Father's words and trusted him long before he came to this earth. So faith was a viable principle at work in the universe long before man came on the scene. Just like sin was a concept in existence before man came on the scene, because Satan was lifted up in his pride and rebelled against God before all of what we see come into being with the Garden of Eden and all that. When God created the universe by a simple command, light be. When Christ calmed the sea by a spoken word, and many other times, there's certainly no doubts in their minds. Even with the matter of Satan and the angels, they had to accept God's explanation for their existence by faith. They don't remember a time before they existed. They just know that they exist. They don't know how they came to be, and they only have God's word as to how they came to be. So they have a choice to believe God or to reject God's word on it and come up with their own ideas, which is what we hear going on throughout all of the other religions and philosophies and everything throughout the world now. Now, the second person of the Godhead had always believed the words of the first person. And when he became a man, he still believed his words, his promises, and he trusted him all the way to his death on the cross and his sojourn into hell, and trusted him all the way back out of hell to be with his disciples for 40 days. And he, by means of faith, was then raised up to the right hand of God. Now, this is the means by which all humans may appropriate God's grace, either for salvation, for forgiveness, or for his blessings. Now, before I get into the next section, I think we'll go ahead and we'll start our break now, and then we'll come back and get into faith as a metaphor for eating, which we've talked about before, but we're going to go through some more of it. So let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study this morning. We pray that you would make it real and alive to us in our hearts and minds, and help us to put these things into practice and to believe them and trust in them by faith. And we just thank you again and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.